Yasodhanandana Prajajana Ranjana Yasodhanandana Prajajana Ranjana Kamunatsiravanacha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasvaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakalpatrubhyas Chakripa Sindhubhyeva Chakpatitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnevyo Namo Namaha. So we're continuing with the chapter of ideal family life. So chapter 7, text 14. Canto 7, chapter 14, and text 36. Okay. So I'll chant responsibly. Jiva rasibir akirnam. Anda koshangripo mahan. Tan mulatpad achutya sarva jivatma tarpanam jiva rasibir akirna anda kushangripo mahan tan mulatpad Achutya Sarva Jivatma Tarpanam Jiva Rasibir Akirna Kanda Koshan Gripo Mahan Tan Mulat Vada Chutjeya Sarva Jivatma Tarpanam Jiva Rasa Pira Kirna Anda Koshan Gripo Mahan Tan Mulat Vata Chuteya Sarva Jivatma Tarpanam Jiva Rasi Bira Kirna Anda Koshan Gripo Mahan Tan Mulat Vata Chuteya Sarva Jivatma Tarpanam Jiva Rasi Bira Kirna Anda Koshan Gripo Mahan Tan Mulat Vata Chuteya Sarva Jivatma Tarpanam. Okay, word for word. Jiva Rasibi, by millions and millions of living entities. Akirna, filled up or spread over. Anda Kosha, the whole universe. Angripaha, like a tree. Mahan, very, very great. Tatmulatvat, because of being the root of the tree. Achutya Ija, worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarva, of all. Jiva Atma, living entities. Tarpanam, satisfaction. In the translation by Srila Prabhupada. The entire universe, which is full of living entities, is like a tree whose root is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Achutya, Krishna. Therefore, simply by worshipping Lord Krishna, one can worship all living entities. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 10.8, the Lord says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhujante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. People are very much anxious to give service to other living entities, especially to the poor. But although they have manufactured many ways to give such help, actually, they are expert in killing the poor living entities. This sort of service or mercy is not recommended in the Vedic wisdom. As stated in a previous verse, it has been decided, viraktam, by expert saintly persons that Krishna is the root of everything, and that worshipping Krishna is worshipping everyone. Just as supplying water to the root of a tree means satisfying all of its branches and twigs. Another point
is that the universe is full of living entities, from top to bottom, on every planet. Jiva Rasibir Akirnaha. Modern scientists and so-called scholars think that there are no living entities on planets other than this one. Recently, they have said that they have gone to the moon, but did not find any living entities there. But Srimad Bhagavatam and the other Vedic literature do not agree with this foolish conception. There are living entities everywhere, not only one or two, but Jiva Rasi B, many millions of living entities. Even on the sun, there are living entities, although it is a fiery planet. The chief living entity on the sun is called Vivashwan. Iman Vivashwan Yogam Proktavam Aham Ayayam. All the different planets are filled with different types of living entities, according to different living conditions, to suggest that only this planet is filled with living entities and that others are vacant is foolish. This betrays a lack of real knowledge. There's both a simile used in the text today, and Srila Prabhupada also uses a simile in the purport, where he says it's been decided by expert saintly persons that Krishna is the root of everything, and that worshipping Krishna is worshipping everyone, just as supplying water to the root of a tree means satisfying all its branches and twigs. So naturally the question arises, in some sense, how is it that worshipping Krishna is worshipping everyone? There's the simile given there, but there needs to be some comprehension possibly of Krishna's particular position. And I thought to explore this a little bit to get a deeper insight, particularly with reference to the verse that Srila Prabhupada is quoting here from the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, "I'm the source of all spiritual and material worlds." So I thought to go just a little bit more deeply into it, to broaden the picture. So now, if we look at this understanding that Krishna is the root of everything, we see that Srila Prabhupada's expanding on Krishna's statement, the statement that I'm the source of all material and spiritual worlds, everything emanates from me. And he's expanding the statement of Krishna's by saying that Krishna is the source of all generations. We find this when he's commenting on this particular verse in Bhagavad Gita. So this implies that Krishna is the root of everyone, and as well as of everything. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, in commenting on this verse, he draws from the Narayana Upanishad, and he gives a particular line there which further elaborates on this. He says, the line that he draws from is Ata Purusho Havat Narayano Kamayata Praja Srijeti. So the Supreme Personality Narayan desired to create living entities. So the Supreme Personality caused living entities to come into existence. It's based on his desire. So this causing of living entities to come into existence, there's a particular way that it happens. It's by his, and this is how it's worded, his partial, meaning he's not, it's not complete, his partial, plenary, meaning still it's absolute, expansion, Mahavishnu. So this particular expansion of Lord Krishna enters into material nature and then into each and every universe. He has a particular form. He's called Garbhodakshaya Vishnu as he's entering into material nature and into each and every universe. And also as Shirodakshaya Vishnu, so a more subtle form, or not subtle, but a different form. He enters into all the elements as well. So going even further, every single little atom. So there's the broader and then the finer. So every single atom, Mahavishnu in the form of Shirodakshaya Vishnu is entering. And this is described by Lord Brahma. So if we remember, he's the creator and works with the material elements, so we have to take very seriously his particular understanding. And his prayer in Brahma Samhita, which elaborates on this particular understanding, is Ekopi Asura Jaitun Jagatananda Kotim Yakshaktir Asti Jagatananda Chaya Yad Anta Antantaro Sta Paramanu Shayantara Stam Govindam Aripursham Tamaham Bajami. So I'm worshipping Govinda, the primeval Lord. And looking further, there's also on this topic of how Krishna is the root of everyone and everything, there's a nice explanation given by Maitreya Rishi in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the sixth chapter, third verse. He describes this progressive work of creation. And it's this work of creation, in fact, is very different to the concept held in Western countries, because the creation is actually Krishna reviving everything. He's directing, but he's also reviving what's already there. So he says, this is Maitreya Rishi, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead entered into the elements by his energy, all the living entities were enlivened into different activities. Just as one is engaged in his work after awakening from sleep. So this means that everything is there, and the process of creation is such that Mahavishnu is awakening everyone to their work. And in the same way that, you know, after we've been resting in the night, and as soon as we wake up, we start our activities, you know, head off to cleanse the body, walk to the temple in my case, arrive here, proceed with chanting. So turning to this interrelationship between Krishna and the living entities, we have to note that becoming conscious is the sign that the soul is present. So that soul was there when Krishna's, or in the form of Mahavishnu, is reviving all the elements. The soul is already there. So it means that they are individual persons, and there's also a total consciousness which is this gigantic Virat Rupa. And Maitreya Rishi says further, the total energy of the Mahatattva in the form of the gigantic Virat Rupa divided himself by himself into the consciousness of the living entities. So very interesting. He's dividing himself into the consciousness of the living entities, the life of activity, and self-identification. And these are divided into 1, 10, and 3 respectively. So we're going to look at this a little bit. We heard about the total energy of the Mahatattva dividing into the consciousness of the living entities. Now, we can look at this life or this the activities of consciousness. These are performed, like these activities of consciousness, how you know that the consciousness is there, it's described that there are life airs which reveal this presence of consciousness, and there are 10 of them. So this is the prana. So just to get an understanding, there's air that's passing through the nose, the breathing. Then there's the air which is evacuated. There's the air which passes through the throat. So if you know, if you close the throat, then you know there's suffocation because there's air that's passing through there. then there's the air that circulates through the entire body, the viana. And there's the air that's present in the belly, which is adjusting the foodstuffs. So the foodstuffs are balanced by the air. And this is called the samana. And then there's the naga. There's air that allows the eyes to open or the mouth to open. And there's a particular air which allows for contraction. And this is called karma air. And then there's air which helps relaxation. So, you know, when one is yawning, so that's called the Devadatta air. So the presence of these airs, which are allowing opening, closing, movement, adjustment internally, that's a symptom of consciousness being there. So Srila Prabhupada, he says that the consciousness takes 3 forms. And this is connected to Maitreya Rishi's statement. These 3 forms of consciousness or self-identification, it can take the form of identifying, or that self-identification is identifying with the body and mind, or it can take the form of self-identification with material products, or it can take the form of self-identification as a servant of the Lord. So there's 3 ways in which that self-identification in the consciousness, that self-identification takes place. So Srila Jiva Goswami, he speaks of this consciousness that even though the living entity is pure spirit, after all, that living entity was in the body of Mahavishnu, who's completely spiritual. So the living entity is pure spirit, and even consciousness itself, he possesses this quality of consciousness, it said, this is Srila Jiva Goswami, just as fire, although by nature it's illumination, it possesses the power to illuminate both itself and other things. So you see the fire, it's bright, so the fire is bright for itself and it's bright for other entities. So it's a very similar idea that the entity has that ability to illuminate itself and others. So now the problem lies in the fact, and this is Maitreya Rishi again, I'm drawing from his very nice descriptions, the living entity is in distress regarding his real identity. And this is so interesting how he puts it. He has no factual background, like a man who dreams that he sees his head cut off. So this is very wild that the poor living entity in that self-identification, he doesn't have a reference point of his connection with Krishna right away. So, in fact, it's almost like dreaming that one doesn't have a head. This is Srila Jiva Goswami, how he puts it. So it's very extreme. So there's a disruption in a person's self-identification. And this disruption then gets managed by the external energy of the Lord, Kali. She's described as actually entering into the material elements at the same time when Lord Vishnu is entering. So she's the one who's managing this disruption of the identification, not having that reference point of coming from Mahavishnu and therefore having a connection with Krishna. So if we go back for a minute, all the ingredients of material nature, they're actually being combined together by time. Time is allowing for the amalgamation. And this is also the energy of Krishna. And he's entering into those elements. And those elements that we're talking about that come to form that entity actually are 23. That's what's described. So very straightforward. It's earth, water, fire, air, ether, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, hand, leg, evacuating organ, genitals, speech, more subtly, the mind. So Krishna's applying his energy to amalgamate those material elements, and then Kali is acting in her way to disrupt the self-identification process. So she's the one who's managing the miseries of the living entities. So if it's only when one is thinking a little bit more seriously that about one's position that one is able to begin to understand that actually he's got a subordinate position to Lord Krishna. One has to think a little bit seriously. And once he's thinking a little bit seriously, he realizes that actually there's that eternal connection, just understanding a little bit of the creation. There's that eternal connection to the mercy also of Lord Krishna. His kindness is necessary to go past that disrupting process that is happening by Kali or Krishna's external energy. that self-identification, it needs to move away from that disrupted state, and it needs to move to particularly the way of seeing oneself as in a subservient position to Lord Krishna. So from that level of purity, it becomes possible to understand that the worship of Lord Krishna is worship of all others, just by virtue of getting some insight into Krishna having been the source of everything in his expansion of Mahavishnu and how he's entered and amalgamated all the elements. It's just requires that more pure understanding so that the ego moves into the right position and away from that disrupted mode. So that then begins the worshipping process of Krishna, and also being automatically there's worship of all other living entities. So those were some short thoughts on this verse. I didn't have a great deal of insight into it, so these were some short thoughts. If somebody has a particular comment that may assist in a discussion, that would be very helpful.
I was thinking of the poor Narayan. You know, by helping man, you're helping God. But they got it a little mixed up. And same with the like with the Christian faith also. You know, by helping man, you're helping God. But it's, you know, it's a little mixed up. You know, give us. They use the expression, give us our daily bread. But in the Vaishnav tradition, it's, you know, oh Lord, how may I serve you? No matter what comes my way. So that's a little different, but those things just came to mind when you were expressing yourself.
Thank you very much. Yes, means the ego is in the disrupted state. It hasn't actually come to the proper state where there's the connection being made with Krishna, and therefore things can be seen in the right perspective. So that disrupted state means one is still attached in some way to some material products. The idea that one is going to actually feel good by, you know, giving to the poor. There may be that feel good part, and it may be that there's some sort of piety, but it's not in the proper in the proper spot. The proper spot is the one of having the ego in place. I'm a servant of Krishna. When one has that in place, then one, all the other knowledge follows it. Of where you're even going to give your charity to, how are you going to give it, what's the proper order of things, that's not there.
We say, know who you are and be who you are, and don't consider yourself noble, you know, for, you know, of course it's, you know, it's just part of where we're at right now, but, you know, doing good to others, you know. I remember they're saying, know who you are and be who you are.
You started the discussion trying to explain this idea of the, what Prabhupada mentioned in the purport of by worshiping God, you're able to worship, you will worship. It's a proper worship of all people, of man. So, and you explained, basically, you went into the detail of how is that one loses a connection with one's, with the position of understanding Krishna as the source of everything and the root of everything by which, you know, worship should be given to Krishna, and everything becomes satisfied, the tree analogy, the root of the tree. Now, maybe if you can talk a little more, comment just this thought, because you mentioned it's a very, the concept itself that you worship man, and the idea of trying to worship man, and which we understand by Prabhupada's mercy, that, you know, the tendency you want to serve, you know, people. The Prabhupada mentioned it's a natural tendency to want to help and serve people. But, you know, there's a difference between serving and worship. Worship is when you have, you know, something that is much higher than you, that you look up to. And so this idea of, I don't know if what Prabhupada means in the purport is, you know, when even to the stream that you want to worship man, or worship a man, or, you know, I don't know, even to that idea, well, you worship God, and then automatically that man will worship. But this idea of worshiping man, how exactly works? I don't know if my question is clear.
Yes, I think I'm following what you trying to point out. You're putting in, you're turning our focus to the fact that Srila Prabhupada is saying that worship of Krishna or God allows for worship of all others. And you're looking at the idea that many persons are seeing or in some sense you're trying to clarify what's the difference between serving and worshiping, because one thinks of worship as something higher and, you know, more elevated kind of thing, and as serving as a more simpler thing. So you're wondering how it is that one worships mankind. Yeah. So yes, so the worship certainly has that definition of offering homage to someone greater. And in this particular discourse here, the idea of that worship or offering homage is to Krishna, with the understanding that actually one's in a subordinate position. So the subordinate position, having the understanding, so there's the correct concept first. Oh, I'm in a subordinate position to Krishna. I'm in a subordinate position to Krishna. He actually gave consciousness both to me and every other living entity. And I'm certainly in a position where I understand that there's a necessity, a dependence on his kindness for my existence. So that would be the worship part. So serving is, the concept is already held, so that ego is, I am a servant of Krishna. It's in the proper position. So with that proper concept being held of one's identity, then naturally it's, one wishes to perform actions that support that concept. So those actions would then be something that is done for the person to whom one is offering homage. So here we're talking Krishna's been offered homage. So we actually perform actions that are for his pleasure. Even our simple actions that go along with body maintenance are done for his pleasure. And in fact, one is extra rigorous and takes extra care because it's for his pleasure. So then you have, on the other hand, the persons who don't have the concept in place of I have a position that's subordinate to God or subordinate to a greater, an entity that's not corporeal, and he actually is the person who gave me consciousness. There's not that concept. Rather, there may be a concept of somewhere in the distance there's God, but right now I actually see a lot of importance in just serving my fellow man. So the idea there is one may do philanthropic acts where one thinks, oh, my form of serving man will be to create an institution that takes care of his physical health. Or my philanthropic act will be to build a bridge that will allow man to move from this particular island to that particular island. So those particular philanthropic acts are not connected to the correct concept that the activity that's being done is actually understanding that I'm subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So everything that I perform needs to be done for him, as an offering to him. Rather, it is, I am serving the whole of humanity by my action. So that comes down to having a very ego-oriented outlook, and that ego-oriented outlook is the false ego, which is thinking, I am the one who is being so magnanimous, and I am the one who's going to be assisting so many living entities in their health or in their transportation, whatever the particular form of the philanthropic act is. So the act is not based on the correct concept and the correct understanding. So therefore, it's can't really be even called true service, because the proper service is holding the correct concept. Otherwise, one is still, every action that one is performing is still in that disrupted state where the external energy of Lord Krishna is further deluding or bewildering those entities that haven't fully taken the concept of I am in a subservient position to the Supreme Personality of God. It is essential that there has to be a shift in the consciousness, and the ego understanding has to be different.
Yeah, it becomes more clear that for the person who doesn't hold the concept that you said, that doesn't understand his relationship with Krishna, that person cannot, when he serves mankind, is not worshiping. It's actually, you know, you're in the position, they're my dependents. It's not that you're paying homage, but you're just extending yourself from a position, from a higher position to a lower position. And so there is no way of this concept of worshiping. The concept of worshiping is for the person who has the proper understanding. And it was mentioned before in the previous verses that the person in knowledge sees Krishna within the heart and is, you know, is honoring and serving other living entities because he sees also Krishna within. There was discussions in the previous. So then there is a proper worship. You know, when we pay respects to others, we pay respects to Krishna also within the heart. And then when we serve others, we serve in Krishna. And like that, they said. So you serve in Krishna, you're able to worship, you know, being able to worship all living entities because Krishna is present.
Right, the homage is always to Krishna.
To Krishna, exactly.
That's the key. That's the homage is to Krishna.
Otherwise, there cannot be worship if there's no worship to Krishna.
That's right. There's correct. No such thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ego is in the disrupted state, completely at the mercy of Krishna's external energy, Kali, who's actually got that task. So the persons, therefore, cannot be seen correctly, are not properly worshipping, are not properly serving even. You cannot serve unless you've made that connection with Krishna, where you worshipping him, and then the acts you're performing are in the right place, coming from the right understanding.
Thank you.
As you were telling, I was thinking that when we are serving mankind, you said there may be a thing that a feel-good kind of why we are doing what we are doing. But then if somebody is, say, doing some service at the temple, but then still the concept is not there that I'm the servant and I'm serving Krishna, but still it is the feel-good thing, then is it meaning, is it just that the concept needs to be clearer as we go down, or?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Somebody's actually come and performed some action that's for Krishna, but the person is not holding the concept, I'm a servant of Krishna. Well, it may not be articulated by the person where I'm a servant of Krishna, but actually that person who's actually come to the point of performing some action that's for Krishna, that person does have something of that understanding that I'm a servant of Krishna. The person would not be able to perform that act of submission if the person didn't in some way hold that concept in the ego. It is there. It is there. It is not possible to perform that action without having a sense and understanding of oneself as being in some way dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as needing to serve him. So that the concept is there. And the person may not even be able to articulate it, but it is present. Anybody who performs some action, particularly an action, and it's for Krishna, the concept is there. Anybody else that you find that they may hear about Krishna, like I have somebody I've known that maybe once a year I have contact with in my early days in New York. We shared an apartment, and the person has practiced yoga, I don't know, I guess pranayama yoga over all these years, and goes on retreats that are breathing, you know, coming in touch with the prana. So, or helping the prana flow better, I don't know. And after all these years, and the person has even, Radhanath Maharaj, as part of his preaching, he goes to different yoga centers. So once I even received a phone call from her, to ask me, she wanted to actually bring some food stuff that would be given out there because she understood from me that, you know, we serve prasadam. So she asked, she said, I think Radhanath is somebody from your organization. So what must I bring? So I said, some fresh fruit is very good. So she has done, she has performed some action. But after all these years, completely attached to her ego is material products are, you know, what gives her meaning in life. So I just received a phone call, one of the once a year phone calls yesterday, and it was an elaborate description of two residences that are owned by the person. So there's not a concept of I'm in a subservient position to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and so the actions I perform are for him because I'm dependent on him. Rather, my work has created these two residences. So to have the person, even through the time of knowing me, she has never thought I will come and bring something to the deity or can I do something for God? Never. Because the concept, the ego, is still holding on to the attachment to material products. That person is in that place. The person, though, on the other hand, who comes to the temple may not have a clear understanding even of the actions they're performing, but they've come here. So the ego has that understanding in some way. I am dependent on Krishna. I'm subservient to Krishna. So it's a very different position, very, 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 very different. And I'm sure this person would be quite happy if I used her as an example because she has quite clear about where she stands. So thank you very much. Jai Prabhupada Ki Jai.